Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
There's some good news for savers this morning as AIB and EBS have announced that they've increased their interest rates on a number of deposit accounts to 2%. They've also increased their rates on regular saver offerings to 1.5% for personal and business customers, and that rate change comes into effect from today. This, of course, will put pressure on the other banks to follow suit. And I'm joined on the line by financial planner and author of How to Make Your Money Work, Owen McGee. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning, Claire.
So this is a step in the right direction for savers and for consumers, but is it crumbs from the table?
Absolutely. Let's start positive, Claire, will we? This is great news. We're up at 2%. We haven't been here in over 10 years. We're going in the right direction, all the positive things, but it kind of feels like a lot done, more to do type of a feeling. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at us, the Central Bank of Ireland numbers would suggest that the average deposit rate that we get here in Ireland is just over 1.1%. And across the rest of Europe, it's over 2.1%. So let's just give us, we're half the rate on average across all of our deposit rates than our friends are in Europe. So that means that there's a reason behind that. Why is that? Why are our banks holding back? And if I was a banker, Claire, it's because I can make money off it, is the blunt and the only way I can put it. If we have over 150 billion sitting on deposit right now, that's just households of Ireland, just the people of Ireland have 150 billion sitting in bank accounts right now. And if the bank takes that and lodges it with the European Central Bank, which they're perfectly entitled to do, that's how the banking system works, they'll get 3.25% on it. That's what the European Central Bank will pay them. And they're paying us now 2%, or AIB and EBS are going to pay us 2% on our savings, which I think there's a bit more can be done. If our European counterparts are happy to take less of a spread between what they get off the ECB and what they pay their customers, why do our banks want more?
So what's going on here? Why do they feel they can do this in this market? Is it lack of competition?
Yeah, I think it is competition. Like, there are challenger banks that are coming in. There's another challenger bank in there. You know, I don't like giving plugs, but there is another challenger bank in there that's paying out 1.56%. Kind of didn't really get the same highlight as this big 2% rate gets. It's a great headline rate. I don't want to sound completely negative about this. I'm delighted to see the rates going the right way on the deposit rates. But also, I would say that a bit more competition will drive these rates better. It'll squeeze the difference between us and the rest of Europe. And that's what we need to encourage. And the only way we encourage competition, the only thing we can do as individuals to encourage competition, is to do our walking with our feet, actually move our money from one bank to another, because the rates are better. People listening to your show this morning need to understand that if you put your money with one of these challenger banks, and these are banks from across Europe, the only thing you need to check is, where is the bank that you're putting the money with regulated? And if it's regulated in another European country, like say it's regulated by the Dutch Central Bank or the Lithuanian Central Bank, it's the same guarantee that you get in those countries and you get in Ireland. The first 100,000 euros of your money is safe and backed by that government if that bank fails.
Mm-hmm. So you can get a better deal. And you, I know you've advised us before on this programme that if you have money that you don't plan to spend for 5 years, you shouldn't really have it in the bank. Isn't that what you say?
My guess, just now, it's very anecdotal, and maybe I should go off and do research on this, but when I have new clients coming into me and I'm looking at how much money they have sitting on deposit, if I extrapolate that out to the rest of the country, of the 150 billion that's sitting on deposit, I'd strongly suggest somewhere between 60 and 70% of that should not be sitting in a bank account. It just shouldn't be there. If you're not going to spend the money in the next 5 years, you are going to lose money against inflation. And to put this in really simple terms, if you save 100 euros a month at that 2% rate, 100 euros a month over 12 months is 1,200 euros. Let's ignore tax. At that 2% rate, you're going to have 1,211 euro. You'll have made 11 euros in interest on that. If you're lucky enough to have the lump sum of 1,200 euros today just to put in today and you get the full 2% for the full 12 months, it's about 24 euros instead of 11 euros in interest.
Not great.
Not great. The inflation rate over the last 12 months is about 6.6%. The thing, if you wanted to buy something today, and let's imagine inflation goes at 6.6% for the next 12 months, let's hope it doesn't, but let's imagine it does. Something that costs 1,200 euros today is going to cost you 1,280 euros in 12 months' time. So your bank account hasn't gone anywhere next or near keeping up with what we call keeping its purchasing power. Now, that's only over 1 year. If you put that over 5 years, Claire, there are people who are signing themselves into bank accounts. They're not going to use the money in the next 5 years, and they are promising themselves that they're going to lose money against what the thing that they want to buy is.
Yeah, they've actually lost money because of inflation and that low interest rate. Listen, I want to ask you about something else, because when we mention this on this programme, we get a huge response. This is the pensions issue in the UK. So people who worked in the UK and they're entitled to a state pension, and people have been given another 2 years now to apply for this special concession, haven't they, to top up that pension.
I'm proud of us. I hope you are too, Claire. Me and you did this. So we highlighted this back at the start of the year. And at the time, it was kind of, I think it was the end of March, that you had to, if just to give people an idea, if people haven't heard us talk about this before, if you worked in the UK for more than 36 consecutive months, for more than 3 years, you may be in a position where you can start looking at buying yourself a UK state pension. Okay. Now, once you're over the 3 years, you need to get yourself to 10 years. And once you have 10 years, you're starting getting pension. If you have 6 years or 9 years, it doesn't matter. You're not getting anything. If you have less than 3 years, there's no point in listening to this because you're not on the pitch at all. But you have to get yourself to over 10 years. There's a unique opportunity at the moment where typically you can go back over the last 6 years. So you can write to the UK State Pension, the International Pension Centre is what people need to Google. You can write to them and say, I worked there for a couple of years. Can I bring myself up to 10? I worked there for 6 years. Can I buy enough to bring myself up to 10 years? They'll always let you go back over the last 6 years and buy the last 6 years. But there's a unique opportunity at the moment where you can buy any year that you missed between 2006 and 2016, that 10-year period. And they opened a window and they said you have to have it done by March. Then you and I put the pressure on them. They changed it to the end of July. And now what they've said is, because of the demand and because there's a backlog for them, they're extending it all the way out to 2025. Now, that's a big window for us to do it. My only fear with this is, Claire, people who this applies to, and just to keep this really simple, if you spent more than 3 years in the UK, you need to check this out. But people had a deadline. We're great in this country for reacting to a deadline. Don't hear this now and say, ah, it's grand, I have till 2025 to get this sorted out. Put it in now. There are lots of people who heard us talk about this or saw it on my social media at the very start of the year who put the application and haven't heard a thing since. They haven't heard anything yet because of the backlog. Don't leave it to the last minute. If you think you might be entitled to a UK state pension, Google UK International Pension Centre, and that's the best place to start.
Yeah,
and put the application in.
And it might sound complicated, but once you have contacted them, do they have an obligation to tell you how to do it?
Well, my argument is once you're in the system, you're in the system. If they can't cope with their system, that's why they've extended this out, because they could obviously recognise that they weren't getting it done before the end of March, and then they pushed July, and July wasn't long enough. So I would keep it on record. People ring them. If you do decide to ring them because you're not hearing anything from them, follow it up with an email. Make sure you have it on record that you're making contact with them. I would suggest the fact that they've pushed it out for by 2 years, that they're going to be on top of it now, and someone actually sat back and said, right, we pushed it back by 3 months. It wasn't enough. Let's push it back by 2 years and get it done. But okay. Get in now. Don't wait till the end.
All right. And the International Pension Centre is what you need to look up. And you might be giving us too much credit there now, Owen, saying that myself and yourself managed to push this date out. But I know that that item that we did when we talked about it first, it was one of our most listened to podcasts, and if people want to go back and find it, they can have a look at the RTE radio app, and it's there. Owen, thank you very much. Good to talk to you. Owen McGee, financial planner and author of How to Make Your Money Work. Coming up after the break, could pharmacists prescribing medication help ease GP shortages?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.